Good morning and welcome to church this morning. A very warm welcome to you. I just want to thank Tim and Peter and the praise band. You know, we're very blessed at Mossvale Community Church with our praise band, and I'm not going to tire in saying that. They're an absolute blessing to us, and we thank them for all that they do for us, week in, week out, with regard to worship. You know, the Word of God is full of truth, and from truth we get challenged. And I want to challenge us this morning. I believe God has got a challenge for each and every one of us this morning. And I'm going to read scripture from Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to go and get your Bible, I'm sure you've got a cup of tea or coffee all organized, but if you want to go and get your Bible, we're going to be reading this morning from Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 12, 12 to 16, and we're reading Philippians chapter 3. So verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let us all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. And we thank God for His Word and His truth this morning. You know, this passage which we have read is a very popular passage in Scripture. It's one of the most popular in the Epistle. And we see Paul talking, and when Paul talks, there is clearly an enthusiasm for athletics. We can see that because he often uses metaphors and illustrations related to athletics to illustrate spiritual growth. And one of the analogies is that of a runner running a race. And when Paul refers to these running metaphors, it gives us a picture of the Christian in the world today, pushing on with maximum efforts towards the finish line. And the center point of the passage which we read in Philippians 3 this morning is in verse 14, where it says, I press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And when he says press on, that means vigorously pursue. It doesn't mean to saunter along. It means to vigorously pursue, pursuing the prize. What prize? The spiritual prize. Paul is referring to Christians' efforts towards growth, not salvation. He's referring to Christians' efforts towards growth. And in verses before 12 to 16, from 4 to 11, which is just before the passage that we read this morning, we're reminded that Paul once lived like a God-fearing, law-abiding Jew who thought his salvation resulted from this. Salvation cannot be given because we are law-abiding. Salvation is given when we accept Christ as our Savior in a genuine way. And I don't know where everybody is with regard to that this morning, wherever you may be. But what I would say is there's a truth in the Bible that says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you're at that point, I would encourage you to make that decision, because today is most definitely the day for salvation. And please get in touch with us as a church if you're at that point or have made that commitment recently. We would love to get in touch with you, and we'd love to draw alongside you as you start your spiritual journey. And this story of Paul that we read in verses 4 to 11 before the passage that we focus on today, we know the story of the Damascus Road, when Paul was confronted by Christ and he realized that his works and achievements did not make him right with God. In fact, they hindered them from being right with God. And in verses 4 to 11, we see Paul getting rid of all the things he once held in so high esteem in order to embrace Christ. You see, Paul, that mighty man that we read of in the Bible, he gained the righteousness of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the power of Christ, the fellowship of Christ, and the glory of Christ. Yet, with all that, he was nowhere near spiritual perfection. When we receive Christ and accept Christ as our Savior, it does not make us perfect. Like all of us who have accepted Christ, it's the most important thing we will do in our lives. And at that point, when God loves us, it's amazing. When our sins can be taken away, when we repent, when we are accepted by God the Father, when we have salvation assured, praise God, when we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, yet we are still nowhere near perfect. And we need to grasp that. So the big question is, why for every believer is there such an importance in pursuing perfection towards the goal? Why is there such an importance? The reason is, there has to be growth. There absolutely has to be growth. Today, sadly, there are many Christians populating churches who have the attitude, why do I need to press on? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've been going to that church for years and years and years. And I used to run that, and I used to do this, and I used to be involved in that. I'm a church member. I attend church when I can and do what I can. That might be the case, but it's not enough. There should be a desire in all who are in Christ to grow. A desire, a hunger, an enthusiasm that cannot be quenched. Can we say that about ourselves this morning, wherever we may be, that we have a desire, a hunger, an enthusiasm that cannot be quenched? But we have to acknowledge, why should we grow? Why indeed should there be such an emphasis on this growth? One, it glorifies God, and we're to glorify God in everything that we do in life. Two, it proves that we want all to see that our life is changed by having Christ in us. And three, it lets others see God's truth through us by our lifestyle, our witness, and our teaching. You see, Paul lets the reader in Philippians know that because he's accepted Christ, it doesn't mean he's achieved perfection. Paul teaches us that perfection is a goal, not an achievement. It's something we have to pursue, yet we'll never achieve it. Just think about that for a moment. We're in this race. We're pursuing this goal that we're called to do, yet we will never achieve it. That can be difficult to comprehend. However, we should keep pressing on towards the goal of spiritual perfection. We have to keep pressing on. We are called to dedicate our whole lives to this cause. Can we say that about our lives this morning? Or has our Christian walk got to the stage we are going through the motions? You see, when we go through the motions, we will achieve nothing. Imagine a top athlete keeping in tune with Paul's enthusiasm for athletics. Imagine a top athlete going through the motions. They will achieve nothing and fail miserably. So how do we pursue the prize, this prize effectively, to give glory to God? And I just want to look at four areas this morning that would help us with regard to that, and that will also enable us to be able to check where we are with regard to this race that we're in. Firstly, we have to pursue a better condition. Sadly, there are many people inside and outside the church, even some professing Christians, who think they have acquired perfection. So what happens is they stop pursuing. They become content with their position and their condition. We are never, ever to become content with our condition. Verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I have achieved already these things, or that I have already achieved perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Firstly, we have to acknowledge we are not perfect, that we have not achieved all that we will achieve in our Christian life. We can't ever feel comfortable with church or with our Christian witness, where we think we just need to turn up and go into autopilot. If we think we can turn up and go into autopilot, what happens is we glide above everything. We have to come down and absolutely saturate ourselves in the Word, in praise, in worship, in prayer. When we just turn up and put autopilot on, we glide above all that, and nothing of that will saturate into us. We should never be content with where we are spiritually. You see, if we go down this route, the biggest danger that we face is we will become insensitive to sin. Whoa! Becoming insensitive to sin as a Christian is a no-no. Because if we get to that point, we become insensitive to sin, we will go into freefall. In this culture that we live amongst today, there are sadly creeping into certain Christians' mindsets this grading of sin. I wouldn't do that. I definitely wouldn't do that. But you know, I would do this. And it's 2020. Do we really still have to say that that's a sin? Paul knew he had Christ, but acknowledged that he was not perfect. Keep pursuing. We look at Paul and we say, here's a guy, that mighty man Paul, who acknowledged he had so much from God. The power of Christ, knowledge, the glory of Christ. He had salvation, but in verse 12 he says, look at all the things I have, but not perfection. And here's the important part. This is where it starts in our life. The pursuing the prize effectively for God's glory starts when we acknowledge we are nowhere near completing all that we have been called for in this life as a Christian. That's where it starts. You see, if we feel we have arrived at the point in our Christian walk where we feel satisfied, alarm bells should ring loudly. They really should. When we're at the point when we're restraining our Christian service or our commitment because it suits our life, our situation, our desires, our work situation. When we get to the point where we feel we've had enough church and church to us just becomes turning up, going home, turning up, going home. Turning up, going home. When we get to the point where we feel we've had enough prayer and hold back from truly seeking God in prayer. When the prayer meeting becomes unimportant. When it becomes inconvenient in our life. When meeting with trusted brothers and sisters in Christ to pray becomes a hindrance. When we're at that point, and we get to the point we've had enough teaching, The men's meeting, the women's meeting, the young adults meeting, youth meeting, whatever it may be. When we get to the point, we don't really need that. You know, if anybody ever says to you that, with love, look at them and say, really, talk me through that. I guarantee they won't be able to come back with any relevant answer at all. When we get to the point we've had enough fellowship and after church we can't wait to get our coat on and get out, let me tell you, you will get more out of fellowship if you hang about after church and have a cup of tea or coffee or involve yourself in discussions regarding the sermon or have the opportunity to pray with someone or let somebody pray with you. You will get much more out of that than shooting away as quickly as you can home to do the garden or whatever it may be. When we hit our comfort zone and rehearse the excuses when challenged or invited to things. When we are honest with ourselves and acknowledge that for whatever reason we have reached that point, that these things have sadly penetrated our life. If we're honest with ourselves and these things have penetrated our life, that's when it's essential, absolutely essential, to pursue vigorously a better condition. Because when we acknowledge this, the spiritual process can start. And only then, when we acknowledge these things have penetrated our life negatively, can the spiritual process begin. And secondly, we have to give maximum effort. Paul says again in verse 12, he's pursuing at maximum effort, but not there yet. God saved each of us for a purpose. Not just to saunter through life as a Christian. Not just to hit and go down the path of least resistance with regard to our witness, our service, our study, our prayer life, our ministry, our attendance, our relationships. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. This is Paul's final instructions to Timothy. And you know, I love the relationship that Paul has with Timothy. Paul being his mentor. And when I think of Paul and Timothy, I can't help but think about the young adults that are connected to Mossville Community Church. We are blessed to have an amazing bunch of young men and women within this church who have a desire to worship and honour and glorify God in all that they do. And you know what? They're led by Tim and Grace and an amazing, amazing ministry. And I think about them when I hear Paul's instructions to Timothy. You see, 1 Timothy 6, 11, 12 says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses." You see, many people think Christianity is a passive religion that advocates waiting in God. It's the opposite. You see, we must have active faith, working hard, sacrificing, seeking. Christian effort, Christian service has to be given maximum effort. Our effort, our discipline, our obedience confirms whether we're a spectator or a contributor. And if we're a spectator, we will achieve nothing. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." The Christian's life involves hard work. It is essential to give up what endangers our relationship with Christ, to run with endurance and struggle against sin. You see, to run with maximum effect, we have to give up the things that weigh us down. We can't run effectively when we're weighed down by many things. How can we do that? One of the biggest challenges that weighs Christians down is relationships and friendships. And Paul speaks very clearly and very directly regarding relationships. I don't have the time to go into all today, but he's so concerned that we get involved with the right relationships. And he puts them into four categories: relationships with false teachers, relationships with factious people, relationships with fellow believers, and relationships with faithful friends. You see, being involved in the wrong relationships can do us so much damage. Choose friends who are committed to the race, not those whose values and actions can deter us from our course. You see, we can't be deterred from our course. We can't be deterred from going off course, because it will just take us in a direction which does not honour God. We perhaps have to need to drop certain activities that are not really that important and take us away from service. You know, many Christians get to the end of their working life, and we have to work. We get that. But they get to the end of their working life and they say, you know, that extra time and effort I gave to my work was to the detriment of my Christian service. Did I really need to stay that late in the office? Did I really need to put in these extra hours? If that's the case, then we need to drop these hindrances from our life. We have to work, but we don't need to use all the time with regard to that. Our time has to be used effectively. Perhaps it's secret sin that's within our life. We all know what that is individually that's weighing us down. We have to let that go. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Paul was running the race to win. He wasn't running the race to saunter through, dilly-dally through. He wasn't running the race to be lukewarm. Are we today running the race to win? To win a race is difficult. It takes a monumental amount of effort. It can make us weary. It can make us tired. It can drain us. However, there is a truth in the Word of God in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ will strengthen us. Thirdly, we have to be focused. To keep in line with Paul's metaphors regarding athletics, athletes are always focused before the race or during the race. Are we truly focused in this race that we are called to run? I just want to look at three quick points with regard to being focused. You know, in church, one of the most common things that shifts someone's focus from Christ is that too many people are concerned with what others think of them. They're too concerned with what others think of them with regard to how they preach, how they teach, how they dress, how they act, how they witness, how they deal with situations, how they lead a ministry. Even pastors. Sadly, I've seen pastors over the years who have crawled into a hole that they have made for themselves because they are so concerned with what other people think of them. Church, at Mossville Community Church, we have two pastors, two godly pastors who are concerned with what God thinks of them. There's the difference. And you know, being a pastor must be a difficult job. They have to deal with many, many different things and difficult things as part of their calling. And in the days that we live today, these guys, the pastors, are going to take the brunt of what comes against the believer. So we are to pray for our pastors, encourage our pastors all the time, and even encourage our children as they grow to pray for our pastors. We're blessed at this church to have two godly pastors, and we thank God for them. If you live your life seeking God, living for Christ in all that you do, and strive to glorify and honor Him, don't be distracted. We also have to be focused, extremely focused on preaching, teaching, and witnessing truth. Too many people are being selected with the Word of God in the days that we live. They're omitting parts of Scripture because it suits society. They're misinterpreting Scripture more and more. Some people are even too scared to preach the truths that we find in the Word of God. Today, the truths of God's work and Word are under attack. Hebrews 12:3 says, "Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." This reminds us not to grow weary or to give up. Today is the day that we must endure and stand firm on the Word of truth. We are living in a world where there is so much hostility against those who profess and choose to take a stand on the Word of God. This is a day that calls us to endure, finishing the race that has been given to us, that we might not grow weary, that we might not lose heart. And thirdly, verse 13 says, "To be truly focused, we have not to be focused on what is behind us. Focus on what lies ahead." You see, the past has nothing to do with the future. We should never dwell on past victories. We can't celebrate our value by our past. It can't be done. Too many of us focused on the past. Too many of us focus on the past and allow it to distract us. We can't be hindered in the days that we have left. And each of us has a different number of days left to serve. We can't be hindered in the days that we have left by our past sins and our past guilts. Let them go. An athlete has no right to win a race because he won the last race. God is interested in what we are doing now and where we are going. The question today is, what are we doing now, and how are we getting there? Does our past paralyze us by bitterness, grudges, anger, pride, jealousy? To run effectively this race, we need to let that stuff go. Give it to God. Give it to God and move on. It's in the past. It's irrelevant if we've accepted Christ. Absolutely irrelevant. What are we pursuing? Our pursuit is to be like Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:28-29 says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in the relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Paul wants to see believers mature spiritually, but we have to work hard. But here's the great news. We don't need to do it on our own strength if we've accepted Christ, because we have the power of God's Spirit working in us. Amen. If our focus is to be like Christ Jesus, if that is our pursuit, God will, yes, He will, bless our lives, our ministry, and our witness. And fourthly this morning, I just want to keep this very, very brief. We have to acknowledge what the prize is. We have to acknowledge what the prize is. The goal is to be like Christ in our life. That's the goal. As difficult as this is, we must pursue this always. The prize. Oh, the prize. To be made like Christ. Heaven with the Lord. To be received into the presence of Christ and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today, where we stand, without looking back at this moment, wherever we are in our house, wherever we may be listening to this, can we put our hand on our heart and say with conviction, we are pursuing the prize? Are we growing? Are we moving? Or are we stuck in the past, standing still, constantly defending ourselves? Or are we pressing on? You see, you can kind of see and do a little test what kind of Christian we are. Can we say we have the desire to pursue the prize with everything we have got? Can we say we are willing to put in the maximum effort at all times? Can we say we are focused and not distracted with looking back and all the irrelevant nonsense that can go on in life? Can we say we are genuinely motivated by the great prize? Sadly today, churches are populated by folks professing to be Christians who are not interested in pursuing the prize. That's a reality, a sad reality. They want to focus on the past. They want to follow the path of least resistance in their life, in their ministry, in their relationships, in their church life. They are comfortable with their current position, situation. They want to create a persona that they are so spiritual. Have you ever met anybody like that? They don't stop justifying where they are. Paul speaks and criticizes self-indulgent Christians, people who claim to be Christian yet do not live up to Christ, who lack self-sacrifice, people who satisfy their needs before the needs of others. You see, freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish. Freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish. Selfish with the time we dedicate to church, to ministry, to the men's, the women's, the prayer night, whatever it may be. Freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish with the way we always look behind us or stand still or focus on the nonsense that can go on and we get involved in. Freedom in Christ does not mean to be selfish with the way we just dip our toe in to be witnesses for Christ and the truths that we find in the Bible. You see, more than ever in this world that we live today, there is undoubtedly an attack on the Word of God. And when there is an attack on the Word of God, we can be assured there will also be an attack on those who choose to take a stand on the Word of God. That can be difficult. That can be challenging. But we're to seek boldness and courage and speak these truths with conviction in every aspect of our life, not just dip our toe That's selfish. Freedom in Christ does not mean freedom to be selfish with the way we encourage, the way we offer prayer support, the way we tithe. Freedom in Christ is not these things. Freedom in Christ is taking every opportunity to serve, to run the race, to pursue the prize, to press on with everything that we have. This morning, can you say, can I say honestly that we can do that, or we say that, or we do that in our lives? Can we honestly say that that's the way we live our Christian lives? Taking every opportunity to serve, pursue the prize, press on with everything we have. You see, if God, the living God, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, that God, if God, the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha, if the God who loves us, the God who cares for us, the God that gives us salvation, the God that protects us, if that God is so willing to give us the prize on offer, how committed are we to run the race and press on towards the goal? God chooses us for salvation in order that he might eternally make us like his own son. That's the prize. Are we running towards it? Or are we standing still or moving backwards? Are we on that journey where one day we'll hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, in the days that we have left, help us to run the race with vigor as best we can and never, ever give up. Father, as we go through into a new week, we would just ask your blessing and protection over each one of us. And these things we ask in your almighty name. Amen. Church, be blessed. I just want to reiterate that if MD needs anything, or you know MD that could do with some help or some prayer or whatever support it may be, please get in touch with us as a church. We'd be delighted to help. Have a great week. God bless.